Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. I want to welcome you to today's episode, and if you are a normal follower, you know we've been kind of looking at this topic of what is God like? How can we get to know Him better? And we've been kind of working our way through that. There's so many different ways that you and I can get to know Him. That's really the command in Scriptures for you and I to grow in our knowledge and relationship of Him. That's what it means to take our next step in following Jesus. And we want to examine what is God's name. You know, God has a name, and surprisingly enough, it's not God. So if God is not His name, then what is His name? He thankfully reveals that to us in Scripture. And I'm not trying to make a play on words or semantics or anything like that. I want us to see scripturally how God reveals Himself, and that will help us tremendously to know who He is. You see, when we reference people, we can refer to them in a few different ways. We can refer to them in categories, something like human versus animal, real versus fake, Asian versus Hispanic. And then we could refer to people in titles. They are my friend. They are a student. They are a father, a wife, a doctor, a pastor, whatever the case may be. Then we could refer to people by their names. My name is Kyle. My wife's name is Amanda. You could refer to someone as Eddie or Sally. You see, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself, or it's His way, if you will, of revealing Himself to us. And when you think about a revelation, it's something that's surprising. It's something that maybe was unknown. And as God reveals Himself, it's really a surprise or unexpected truth or reality about God that maybe we didn't understand before. But God does this. He reveals Himself progressively. As we begin in Scripture, He begins with a title, God. Then He adds a description, God Almighty. Then He reveals in Exodus His personal name, that of Jehovah or Yahweh. Then He begins to reveal who He is or His character by adding descriptions to His personal name, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and we'll look into some of these as we navigate forward in our episodes. Why do you think God reveals Himself this way? What benefits would there be to revealing yourself progressively? Well, God is God, and it's a lot to take in. And so you and I need to, just like we would meet someone, we can't take everything in about them. It takes time to learn them, to hear about them, to discover them, to experience them, to do life with them. And as we do that, we kind of move from just a surface level understanding to progressively understanding more about that person. And so that's what God does. Too often when we study God, and I noticed this in a lot of theological books as I was working through this study, and honestly, it's the way I've approached God when I think of Him and study Him. I start with His attributes or His character. We'll begin studying that God is love, God is mercy, that God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, and most every theological book I looked at does it this way. Think about me coming to you and introducing myself as this: hi, I am honest, ethical, introverted, and easygoing. You'd be like, what? Like, dude, what's your name? Then let's get into some of those things. That would be odd, right? So let's study God in the order and way that He reveals Himself. So as we go onto the pages of Scripture, we are first introduced to God in Genesis 1:1. This is how the Bible starts with the revelation of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It is the word Elohim in Hebrew. It means an invisible but real spiritual creature. It is used of the God of the Bible, but this title is also used of other false gods. So we would say God is not technically a name. I wouldn't want to argue that, or some people would say, well, yes, God, that is a name for God. I don't want to argue that at all. But the way I see it as I study through here, God is not His name. It's more like a title. It's why? Because it's a title for various other gods, false gods. But what the Bible does is stepping on the scene, it makes a very powerful claim back around 2000 BC with all the false gods the nations had. This God, as Moses writes, is the one true God. Out of all the false gods, this one is different. This is the one true God. And He's this. He's the creator of everything. And it's saying every other God, lowercase g, are false. And so God does this. He places Himself immediately in the highest category possible. He essentially places himself, in a category all by himself. And this is who Adam and Eve and their descendants knew God to be. And so he steps on the scene and says, I am God who created the heaven and the earth. And as he continues revealing himself, and we fast forward to Genesis 17, he here interacts with Abram, and now he adds a description to his title. He is God Almighty. He's progressively revealing himself as we walk through Scripture. It talks to us in Genesis 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make a covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, and began to share this covenant, how he's going to be a father of many nations. And so here he adds Almighty. That's El Shaddai. It means God all-powerful. God can do anything. And this title is typically connected with his promises. God bases his promise to Abraham not just on his word, but on who he is and what he can do. Why would Abraham need to know this about God? Here in Romans 4:21, it says, he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Think about this. It said he was fully persuaded that what he had promised. Why? Because he stepped on the scene and said, I am the great creator God of the universe, and I'm also all-powerful. I am almighty. I can do anything that I say I can do. I'm not only God, the one true God and creator of everything, who you've known thus far, I'm also God who can do any and everything I want. I possess the ability because of who I am. I have made this promise, and you can believe it because it's based on my ability and also on my character. So many times, you know, somebody gives you a promise, and if you know them well, and there's great character there, there's a great experience in life, and you just know, hey, they're trustworthy, it means a lot. Why? It's based in their character of the name of that person. Someone may be that we don't know that well, and they come up, I'm going to promise you this. We may be a little more shaky on it, not fully, you know, going to the depths with it. Because of there's no character that's been established and so forth. Doesn't mean they won't keep their promise, but here God says, look, I'll keep my promise because of who I am and what I can do. How God reveals himself is always in close connection with the circumstances of that person's life or the mental state of that person. This kind of becomes a pattern as you and I walk through Scripture. God reveals more about himself in relation to people and circumstances. This is the same title that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would know God by. Job also used this title frequently, Almighty God or God Almighty. So as God continues revealing himself, I am God, the great creator, I'm God Almighty. Now he comes to the point when he gives Moses his personal name. If we were to go to Exodus chapter 3, and over our next few episodes, we'll kind of dig out some of what God says here. But in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is keeping the sheep. Maybe you're familiar with the story. And all of a sudden, he looks, and there's a burning bush. And Moses, and he talks to him out of it. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So here God has called him out and said, look, I want you to go and lead your people out of the bondage in Egypt. And Moses says, he's very apprehensive. He's coming up with excuses. He says, okay, say I do that. When I go there, they're going to say, who on earth sent you? Like, what authority do you have? Who told you you can do this? Because Moses, you don't have the authority. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. If we were to fast forward to Exodus chapter 6, he says this, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand Shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land? And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. All right, this is what he said. I revealed myself. It was by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. So when we come to Moses, God takes it a step further and reveals his personal name. He moves from essentially a title describing himself to his personal name. God reveals his name as Jehovah or Yahweh. This comes from the root word to be. It means the same thing in Exodus 3 when he says, I am who I am, or I will be what I will be, or I am the one who is. What does this name reveal to us? I am. It speaks of God being eternal, self-sufficient, self-existent. It speaks of immediacy and present. He's here. Ever been with a friend and you're talking to them? Maybe they're scrolling on their phone and they're in la-la land and you wish they would just be present with you. Hey, wake up, listen, be present with me. God says, I am present. I am here. I am waiting. It speaks of nearness and accessibility. You may say, well, what's the difference between Yahweh and Jehovah? It's two different transliterations of the same name. You see, the Jews would not say the name of God out of complete reverence, and so they did not write in the vowels in the scriptures. They put YHWH. And so Yahweh is kind of a direct transliteration from the Hebrew. Jehovah is kind of a transliteration from a Latinized version. It's an attempt to say the name. And so because they omitted the vowels, we do the best we can, but you'll hear in songs Jehovah, you'll hear in songs Yahweh. It's the same name of God, just two different transliterations from the original Hebrew. When you come to your Bible, Jehovah, Yahweh, is translated as all capital L-O-R-D. So when you see that, or capital G-O-D, you understand it's Jehovah that's being used in the original manuscripts, in the original scriptures. And this is to follow maybe the Jewish reverence of the word. So why is it even important to know that God has a name? I mean, you think about the great creator of the universe. Look outside right now. Look around you and you see all that God has created. It's like, wow, this God is magnificent. This God is high, higher than me. Well, a name is important because it reveals a person. Not in the essence of male or female, but in the essence of relationship. God has a name which makes him personal. It makes him reachable. It makes him not being some far-off, impersonal energy force out in the universe or just a subject in a textbook in a world religion class. No, God has a name. It is Jehovah. He wants you to know his name. That emphasizes relationship. He wants to know and to be known. He wants to relate or have a relationship with you and me. He doesn't just want you to know a bunch of facts about him. That misses the point. But to be in relationship with him. He wants you to communicate in that relationship. Spend time together in that relationship. Get to know each other as time progresses. So a name is important because it reveals a person. And secondly, there is power in a name. Think about a loan coming from a no-name bank versus a well-known bank. Maybe you're trying to tell somebody, I can get a loan, and they hear, and they're like, well, I don't even know that bank. Are they even going to be able to provide the money? But you hear the name Bank of America or First Citizens Bank automatically, well, yeah, I know them. They're established. There's something in that name. Or when you hear the name Amazon or Walmart, automatically you know they have products. They can provide them. They can provide the services. Maybe you hear some other name, and you're like, I've never heard that. Who are they? Do I even want to buy anything offline, online from them, because I don't know them. They're not established. There's power in a name. Just like a promise coming from someone you barely know versus a promise coming from someone you know really well. A name has meaning. In Hebrew culture especially, names had significant meaning. They were more than just a title. It carried with it the idea of power, of purpose, authority, and responsibility. And God often changed people's names after he revealed his will for their life. Abram became Abraham, from exalted father to father of many nations. Jacob, the deceiver, was changed to Israel, one who prevails. Simon, in the New Testament, was changed to Peter. And so we understand God reveals himself in the same way to you and I, progressively, and in relation to us and our circumstances. And this is why trials and hardships allow us to know God in greater ways than anything else. What does God's name mean for you today? It means he's personal to you. The different names of God reveal the different ways he relates to you and I. It means he's knowable. You know, God has a name for every situation you will encounter in life. You and I need to discover and understand those names to help us in those situations, to help us to relate to God. It means you can pursue a relationship with him. It means we will continually grow in our knowledge of him as we navigate life and experience him. This should create what? Motivation. It should create a desire to know him, to know that there are things about God that we don't know and that we can learn. God has a name, and he says, my name is I am that I am. My name is Jehovah. My name is Yahweh. Come and get to know me. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.